Do you know if that ever that compound ever became a real refrigerant?
It never reached commercialization. The impetus, as you recall, is that Frigidaire Corporation had proprietary rights to the molecule, the other molecule, and such people as General Electric wanted to use it, but Frigidaire wouldn't let them use it, and so they came to us to get a substitute. Well, Frigidaire was claiming some special properties, special advantages for the 114. As time went on, they apparently didn't maintain that advantaged position, and it got de-emphasized, and so that the others didn't have the desire to compete. And of course, Freon 12 or refrigerant 12 became the one of choice for the household refrigerator almost exclusively, and it still is today.
Were your activities after April 6 divided then? Were you looking at some of the things with the polymer and also some of the refrigerant?
I'm sure I was divided. I recall that it was within a few months, maybe a couple of months, that I got a new assignment completely. So it was in that period of time that whatever I did, it was joint, yes. And I don't know exactly right now when I got that other assignment. I think maybe it might have been as late as August. But in January of the next year, I was transferred into the manufacturing organization in lead business. Yeah.
You did some work on trying to repeat the polymerization.
Yes, I did.
You didn't talk about that last time either.
I ran a number of experiments in which I sealed TFE gas into pressure tubes and stored them under various conditions with or without a specific catalyst and with a specific catalyst in a solvent. And found that under all of those broad conditions, you could get polymerization. I never got a chance to do enough of it to get any good at specifying the conditions. That got developed by the people at the experimental station.
Did you have any specific reaction when you were transferred out of the that one position to the TEL plant?
No, I've sort of been Jim that I'm here. I accepted DuPont as the place to work, and if DuPont thinks it's good for me, well then it must be good for me, and so I'll do it. I never questioned seriously of not doing what they asked me to do.
Of course, Teflon. At that point,
it wasn't.
There was no realization yet.
There was no realization of what Teflon might amount to. That's right.
As the development of Teflon continued later on, were you contacted at all? Did you have contact with those?
I had contacts. Not in the technical sense, but I got contact in the legal sense because the patents were being applied for, and the original patent was applied for and was issued in 1941, but then it was also patented in quite a few countries, and every time they put one in a different country, I had to sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's
this is the. This is the original, yeah. That's the original.
Now, in terms of the patent process, once you made your observations on April 6th, this patent was applied on July 1st. Are you the one who initially...
July 1st, 1939.
Oh, so it's a year later.
Yeah.
Would you, as the person in the laboratory, initiate the patent process?
Yes. Any researcher could pose a patent on anything that he had done. The researcher had to make the original search as to whether it was patentable or not. Make at least a scientific judgment as to whether it could be patented, and make a proposal for it to be patented. Yes.
Okay, and you did that then?
As far as I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that time of about a year normal for applications to take place?
They can vary all over the map. It takes a long time to get the chemists and the lawyers to agree on, a lawyer to agree on what they're going to say. And it's just like all other legal aspects when. You give something to the lawyer and maybe a month or 2 months later before something else comes back from it. Yeah, that's not unusual. That's not unusual. Yeah. So that I kept in touch in a way. By knowing that it was going on and knowing people that were doing work and I was aware in a minor way of the Manhattan District work that was going on the site somebody asked me, have you ever met Blaine McCusick?
No.
Blaine McCusick was a research director at the DuPont Experimental Station when I was working, and he's the first one that made a contact with me last year to give this talk that I gave yesterday at AAAS, and he's taken over leadership of the chemistry division from Rustin Roy, I believe, who's now chairman. But anyhow, I saw him yesterday afternoon in a hotel. And he asked me one question. He says, did the Manhattan people ever want to get you into the process? And I said, if they did, I didn't know it. Because in the meantime, I was pretty well ensconced in the manufacturing of tetraethyl lead, and it had a pretty important field. And when I was expressed an interest at one point in time of possibly doing more by offering my services to the country. Somebody said, well, if you do, you'll be right back here in a private uniform. So that sort of discouraged me from doing that.
Interesting. When did the first large scale, you did some of those early experiments to cause the polymerization. Do you know when the first large-scale polymerization started to take place? Is that the work of Joyce and?
I think it grew out of what Joyce and Hanford did, but they were doing laboratory size things, bench scale stuff, and whereas the people at Jackson Laboratory. It was Benning and the group that I had been associated with, McHarness. They developed a larger scale process for making TFE, and developed the pyrolysis of 3N22. And then the group at Arlington did the polymerization scale up work. They were in the plastics department of DuPont. That decision was made up here that we're going to let the plastics department develop the plastic. And now what the size was, this came in the early 40s. a first large scale pilot plant didn't get built though until after the war. So there were pilot plants and pilot flights of different sizes, and so I don't know what to call a large scale. But if you want to talk pound quantities at a time, or a few pounds or something like that, that took place, I'm sure, in 41, 42, 43, along in there.
What was the catalyst of choice in the polymerization eventually?
I believe the first commercial I'm not sure, but I believe right now that the first commercial catalyst was persulfate.
Okay.
Aqueous polymerization.
Well, I think I've asked the questions that I wanted to tie up some loose ends with. Is there anything else that you wanted to add at this point? The two areas that we talked about this morning?
I can't think of anything right now, Jim, that I'd like to add to it. And when I see your notes and so forth, I may have something I want to add in, put in, and suggest. I've been happy to participate with you in going over these things, and they you try to jar my memory, and sometimes it won't jar very well.
Well, I appreciate all the time you spent with us, and your willingness to take some more time this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.